thousands of generations falling down in worship to the King, and it makes me just zoom out and see the glory of the Church of Jesus Christ and how He'll have one from every tribe and every tongue and every generation when we enter in the last day, and we'll sing the same song, and it'll be in unity, and it'll be beautiful, and it'll just be holy, holy, holy as the Lamb of God. I can't wait until that day. A thousand generations falling down to worship, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all power and position, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, and if you bear His name, come sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all power and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever. Hear the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever. You will always be. Testimonies of your love, but the greatest one of all is that you rescued me from sin, led me right into a brand new life. I can't believe how good the Lord. the Lord's been. I can't believe how good the Lord is. I can't believe how good the Lord is. Well, He's been good to me. He's been good to me. More time, sing that chorus. I can't believe how good the Lord is. I can't believe how good the Lord is. I can't believe how good the Lord is. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. He's been good to me.
Turn our eyes to You, Jesus.
our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Aren't you glad that we have someone to turn our eyes to this morning? Praise the Lord. I'm going to admit to you this morning, I'm going to humble myself and tell you I don't know how to preach the message I'm going to preach you this morning. Amen? Not that it's a bad one, but just that I don't know how to orate it, if that makes sense. And I hope you recognize that in me, that I'm never going to get up here and tell you I know how to put a message together. No one ever taught me. I never went to school to be a preacher. I was called when I got born again to be a mouthpiece for the Lord and to testify of the goodness of God. And this morning, that's what I'm going to try to do my best. So if you walk out here and go, that just wasn't Pastor Rafe's best message, I want to just go ahead and tell you ahead of time. I've studied this, and I've read this over and over again, and I just need God's help this morning to represent it. Amen? I hope I do it service this morning. I titled this message, His Mercies Endure Forever. I don't know why it seems so hard. Maybe it's just the Lord making sure that I stay humble. Amen? I don't ever want to think of myself as a great preacher, because I don't think that I am. But I do just want to love God, and I want to know God, and I want to be able to orchestrate it. And last night, I had a strange dream. I had a very strange dream, which Selah was up all night last night. We've taken the front part of her bed off. We've gotten to that point. And so at night, whenever she decides to wake up, she does, and she comes into our room. We don't have the monitor anymore, and so last night, didn't matter how many times we took her back to her bed, a few minutes later, she'd wake up, and she'd open the door, and she'd be by the bed saying, can I sleep with y'all? And so we're probably going to have to put that thing back up, at least for a little while. But in between times where she was in there at night, I had this dream, and what was strange to me is that it should have been very comfortable for me. Because in my dream, I was talking to a young man, and he was asking me, how do I come to Christ? How do I come to Jesus? How do I know him as my Lord and Savior? And I began to talk to him. This is my expertise, remember? I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I should know how to orate the gospel of Jesus Christ to this young man. But all the while that I was trying to get a rational thought out of my mouth, it was just jumbled up. He just was more confused, and I was more confused in this dream. And I don't know if I was fighting the enemy about my confidence in ministering this to you this morning or not, but I just woke up and I thought, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we were sinners, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took the cross and he was killed for our sins, and he rose again, that in our death with him, we might be rose again to life with him. Amen? And I just told myself that this morning as I looked in the mirror to come here, just to prove to myself, I remember how to say the gospel. Amen? And so I just want to say to you, I've just been battling in my mind these things and this silliness, but I do. I just take it as the Lord humbling me. I don't ever want to think of myself, you know, I should feel comfortable behind this pulpit doing what I do. Folks, this is the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, and I don't take it lightly. It means the world to me that you come to church to hear the truth, and that I orate it, I present it to you the way that God desires it to be. Amen? And so I love you this morning, church. I hope that's what you get from it, not that I'm just a crazy person. Amen? If you'll turn with me to the book of Job, just briefly, Job chapter 14, verse 1, and then from Job 14, we're going to go to Lamentations chapter 3, and all of you are already thinking right now, no wonder he's going to have a hard time preaching this. Who wants to preach out of Job and Lamentations? Amen? we know where we're going with this. Amen? I promise you it is not dreary. I promise you it is the encouraging word of the Lord this morning. I've titled it again, His Mercies Endure Forever. I want to speak to us this morning on the reality of mankind. Amen? The nature of mankind. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, and it's been misery. It's just all that we can produce in our flesh is misery. Job chapter 14, verse 1 says this, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." And folks, I think that any of us can look at life in general and say that if you are born a human being, that you know that life on this earth alone is short, one, but two, it's full of trouble. There are some good days, don't get me wrong, but I can tell you, this world has it out for us. And if it wasn't bad enough that the world has it out for us, the enemy of our souls has it out for us. He doesn't want us to succeed. And if we're born again Christians, you have it double. Amen? Because I can tell you, all hell is put against the Christian to not succeed. Because the succession of Christianity is the glorification of Christ Jesus. The ability, and I'm not talking about prosperity. I'm not talking about how well you're doing, how big your house is, how nice of a car. I'm not talking about that type of success for Christianity. I'm talking about the Christian's ability to suffer and to still have joy. The Christian's ability to go through hardship and still be victorious and triumphant for the gospel's sake. A person that would say, just as Job said, though the Lord has buffeted me, and I may have questions for him, I'm not going to curse him. I'm not going to say nothing bad about him, because though I may not understand it, he has understanding for me when it's all over. And I'll understand it one day. Amen? Lamentations chapter 3 says this. This is from the prophet Jeremiah. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy, even when I cry and shout. He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow. He set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all of my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. Now, these are the words of Jeremiah, who was called the weeping prophet, was in ministry for over 30 years, never saw a convert, despised on every turn for the words that he ministered. Now, he gave his life to the Lord to do what the Lord will with it. And this is somewhat of a testimony of what he's saying. He's saying, it seems to me like you've done me a disservice. By answering the call of salvation and entering in to what you've desired me to do in ministry, it seems that all that I have received as a reward is trouble. Anybody ever feel that way? I was at the hospital yesterday with my mamaw, and she was sedated. And I was grateful for that. I was grateful she's on the good stuff, the morphine, and she was sleeping, and she had a smile on her face, because I couldn't imagine how. My hip hurts terribly. I don't know if it's arthritis or how many times I've gotten hit by a bull in the career that I had before this, but it hurts terribly. I couldn't imagine breaking it and then having to lay on it. It'd be terrible. But she was sitting there with a smile on her face, and as I was talking with her husband, Lester, we just began to talk about the Lord and talk about how dementia just is terrible. And he began to make this statement. He said, "This is one thing that I don't understand. This is a prayer that I constantly pray and feel like I don't get an answer on, is why is she there dealing with what she's dealing with? And why am I here not dealing with any of those things?" He said, "I was a drug addict for 30 years, in and out of prison. My life was terrible until I came and known the Lord. But here is a woman who has served God from her youth, who's loved God, who's been selfless and caring and loving." This is him talking about, I'm not boasting on my grandmother, she was all those things, but this is him saying that. He's saying, "Why is she there and I'm not there? I don't understand that. I don't understand how God can seem so cruel in this way to do that." Anybody ever feel like their prayers have never been answered? Anybody feel like God has turned his ear away from you? This is the similar thing. This is what the prophet is saying. Not only have you won me in to your service with promises, you've won me in with love, you've won me in with grace, but now that I'm in, all that I have received is trouble. Now all that I've experienced, he said, "You've broken my teeth with gravel." Could you imagine? That's anguish. He said, "Your bow is bent, like you put me up as a target that your arrows would pierce me." This is the prophet talking to the Lord. He's saying, "Since I have served you, this is what my experience has been in you." That sounds backwards, doesn't it? That doesn't sound like a Christian should be saying it, does it? None of us would ever say anything like that, would we? We'd never say that to the Lord. We would never have hardship with the Lord. We'd never argue with him. We would never say, "God, I think you should have answered that prayer." None of us. I'm telling you, we've been real with God. We've been as real as the prophet's been with God. Every one of us. And you know what? God doesn't hold it to our charge that we're just real people. He would prefer the real person. He would prefer the person that says, "You know what, God, since I've been with you, it's been tough. It's been hard. I can tell you there's some people that aren't here today that I prayed for that I wish were here today. And you didn't answer those prayers. And I have a hard time with that. And I don't know how to deal with that. My fleshly heart don't know how to handle those issues. And I want to know how to handle it. But this is what it seems like." Listen to this, because 1 through 20 is very direct towards God in a negative connotation. But look at verse 21. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." He's saying these things are real things. So don't let a preacher get up in front of you and tell you that everything is going to be butterflies and rainbows from the moment that you get into Christ. Don't let somebody tell you that life is going to change for you now that you're in Christ. It may not. Now, your soul may be saved from the pits of hell, but you still have to live in this world. You still have to deal with the consequences of sickness and cancers and struggles, and you have to deal with drunk drivers veering into somebody else's lane. You're going to be born out of this world spiritually, but you're going to be stuck in this flesh until God calls you home. And this is what Jeremiah is saying. He's saying, "Since I've known you, this is what the world has dealt to me. This is what you have allowed the world to deal to me, the anguish that I'm in over it, the terror that I feel inside, the fear that I have to go every single day would crush me, knowing that every day I will wake up and I will deal in some capacity with the terrors. But for this hope I recall. For this hope, I recall. And it says in 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. I would be consumed if it were not for his mercies. Amen? I can tell you, it's all right to be real with God, but it's not all right to look on this and then not recognize this. Amen? Because we can look at the world and we can look at all of its discrepancies, all the fallibility of the world, and how terrible it is to be a Christian, and how hard it is to walk in life every single day, to have lost that loved one, to deal with the fear, to deal with the anxieties, to deal with the depressions every day, and God not deliver us from it. But it is not okay to only acknowledge this as a reality and not look back on all the mercies that God has poured out on us. This world is hell. Understand that. And it's the only hell us Christians will ever have to go to. Hallelujah. Because the mercy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed by it. Listen, any other person, it would have taken their heart. And they would have been looking for any other way out. You remember Job's wife? Why don't you just curse God and die? If anyone else would have gone through this, Job, they would have just cursed God. And they would have just died with the rest of their family. These are two people, one flesh. And you've got Job standing and saying, you know what? Whatever the Lord has for me, he knows better. And when I can't bear it alone, he'll be there to bear it for me. That was Job's mentality. And so it didn't matter what came Job's way. And you know what we have greater than Job had? We have the new covenant in Jesus Christ. We have Emmanuel, God with us. We have the promise of no matter where you are or what you go through, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. We can lean on the mercies of God because I can promise you one thing. We are born of woman. We've got short days. And lots of trouble. I don't deserve mercy. I don't know if anybody here believes that or not. I don't deserve mercy. I don't deserve grace. I deserve hell. But in God's mercy, he said, I don't will it to be so. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. One of the most beautiful things that I've ever heard is that God is touched by the feelings of our infirmity. Anybody ever heard that scripture? That God is touched with the infirmities, the feelings of the infirmities of his people. Anybody heard that scripture? It's one of the most beautiful scriptures that I've ever heard. Because you know what it means? It means when you hurt, he hurts. And not just a different kind of hurt. When you lose a parent, his heart is just as broken as your heart is. He feels it the way that you feel it. And that enables him to have compassion on you in a way that is fulfilling to us because he is feeling it the way that we feel it. What mercy is this? There are human beings in this world that don't know how to feel it the way that you feel it. I've got two brothers and two sisters, and if one of my parents died, they would not feel it the way that I feel it. Now, they would feel it in a way, but they wouldn't feel it the way that I feel it. That's how personal God is to us. He is not far off and hidden and disassociated with your life. He is a friend that's closer than a brother. And by his mercy, he feels it the way that we feel it. He goes through it with us. The way that we go through it. In Ecclesiastes, it says there will be a season for laughing, joy. There will also be a season to mourn, to weep. I can tell you, you know why it says season there? Because there's no time limit on it. Every one of us is going to deal with it differently. But do you know who's going to deal with it the same? Him. Because of his mercy, he's going to be with us. You know how many times someone's come to me and said, just get over it. Just get over it. Anybody ever had somebody just say, it's time to move on. You just got to. I would love to. I would love to move on, but I can't. And I don't want to be made feel wrong. You know, Jesus has never said, all right, now it's time. We got to get out of here. Move it along. Nope, he's there for the season. His mercies come to be with us. He comes to be with us because of his mercy, his compassion for us. And you know what it says? If we could ever think that they run out for us, it says they're new every morning. And this proclamation has said, great is your faithfulness. Because the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This is the same prophet in the same paragraph. This is the same guy that's talking about the agony of his teeth being broken like they were being poured over by gravel, to now saying, it is good to wait quietly on the Lord. Do you know why? Because he never fails. He never fails to show up. He never fails to deliver. He never fails to be everything I need when I need it. He's never failed it. I'm telling you from experience, you take a preacher out of it. I hate that title. I hate the position of it because I'm looked at in a certain way. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the weakest human being here. I'm the strugglingest person here. And despite all of that, his mercy is new every morning for me. Despite that, he has never failed to find his way to meet my need. Every time I wake up on a Sunday morning, I go, I don't know how I'm going to preach this message, God. I don't even feel like I know you this morning. He says, wherever you can't go, I'll go. Whatever you can't do, I'll do. Because my mercy for you is fresh. My mercy and my love for you, my compassion for you is great. And I was talking to Lester, and he said, have I made the wrong decisions with your grandmother? Have I chose to be selfish and prideful in these areas? And I just was able to minister. Who would have thought a young boy, I'm 32, so I'm not quite boyish, but I'm young, very immature, only been saved 12 years, going on 13. And who would have thought me ministering to a man 30 years my elder, and he's leaning on me for wisdom. He's leaning on me for answers. Blew my mind. I know me, and I wouldn't ask me. But he says, have I chose the wrong thing? And I just asked him a simple question. I said, have you done your best for my grandmother? He said, I believe I've done my best. I said, would you have done better? If you could go back, would you have done better? Yes, I would have. And that's all I need to hear. Because you gave it all. I don't know anybody that wouldn't have done things better when they go back. But you know what that means to me? That your heart was in the right place. It means that you did all that you could in that season. And isn't that the beauty of grace? Is where I can't get to, where I fall short of, God meets me right there in that place. And he takes us the rest of the way. The compassion of God. The mercies of God. I can tell you, I'm a mistake maker, full of mistakes. I mess it up every single day. And it puts us constantly in positions to think, God doesn't owe me anything, and I don't deserve anything else. Anybody ever feel that way? I hear what you're talking about, preacher, but you don't know how many times I've failed, how many times I've messed up. I don't deserve the mercies of God. None of us do. I'm going to do an overview of Exodus 32, 33, and then I'm going to read an excerpt of 34. And I just want to give you an example of some terrible people. Amen? People that are terrible like us. People who don't have great faith in God. People that struggle every day with doing the will of God. Exodus 32 is after the children of Israel have been liberated from Egypt. They're out into the wilderness. They've now moved on to a place called Mount Sinai. And you'll know that this is a place where Moses is going to go up onto Mount Sinai, and he is going to have the tablets of stone turned into the Ten Commandments. God is going to write his law on the stone tablets for Moses. What many of you may not know is that Moses had to go back twice. He had to make a copy. Anybody know that? That when he went up the first time, as he's there with the Lord, he gives God the stone tablets. God writes his law on the stone tablets. And right in the middle, I'm sure right when God finished, thou shalt not worship idols, right probably around that area, all of a sudden, all the way down into the valley where the Israelites are, they have gotten monotonous. They've gotten dull with God. They had forgotten that God had delivered them. And they had said, Moses is gone. He's probably dead. And now we're left out here in the wilderness all by ourselves. And they go to Aaron, who is the high priest at that moment. And they said, make for us a God that we can worship that'll lead us out of this wilderness. Aren't those people terrible? Aren't they just the worst? I mean, the Red Sea just opened. Manna is falling every morning from the sky. Fresh quail is flying in. Anybody love quail in here? They're delicious. They're flying in every day for these people. It says that all the years that they walked, their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never tore. They never aged. Their clothes didn't. God kept them pristine every day. There was unfathomable miracles that happened every single day. When they got lost in the dark, a pillar of fire came down and led them in the night. When they got hot during the day, a cloud was there to guide them and make sure that they didn't get overheated. When they got thirsty, there was branches thrown into waters to make the bitter water sweet. When they couldn't find a place with water, Moses hit a rock and water began to boil out and to feed millions of people. I mean, miracles have happened. I mean, don't even get me started on the fact that they just marched out of Egypt, and with all of the armies of Egypt at their back, God swallowed up their enemy in the Red Sea. Don't let me forget that little nugget. Lots of miracles, right? And Moses is gone for a couple of days. I mean, this is some stuff that's happened over a long period of time. Now, Moses is gone for a couple. You know, he's probably dead up there. We should move on. Whoever this God is that got us this far, I mean, he must be done with us because he's just let Moses die. And now we're left out here in the wilderness all by ourselves. Aaron, you mind making us an idol that we can worship? And they took all of their gold earrings off, all of their jewelry. They threw it into the fire. And when they threw it into the fire, a golden calf was formed. They didn't form it, but it was formed. And when it was brought out of the fire, they said, let us now worship this golden calf that has delivered us out of Egypt. Terrible people. The worst. Just garbage humans. Right? Couple days, and their faith is gone. They're faithless. Make us an image to worship. God says, Moses, there is something terrible happening right now in the valley, and you need to go down there because I'm going to kill them all. That's summarized for you. That's not exactly how he said it. But ultimately, you need to get out of here because I'm angry. And my wrath needs to be kindled because I want to bring judgment on these people. After all that I've done for them, they have forgotten me already, and they're already worshiping a golden calf. So Moses leaves. He goes down. Almost like he's not believing God. Like, I can't believe this. There's no way these people are doing this. He goes down. He comes into the camp. And what does he find? Everyone dancing around the golden calf, singing and praising this idol. And he just takes the stone tablets and he just breaks them on the ground. And he says, I can't believe you people. I'll tell you, we're just like them. I'll tell you, there's no greater Jesus worshipers than us on Sunday. But when Monday comes around, my favorite TV show becomes my altar. My favorite social media becomes my Bible app. We're just as quick to run an idol worship as anybody else. I mean, I'm not here to condemn you or convict you in any way. I'm just saying that we're no different. And then, but what that does is it puts us in the position just going, man, I'm just terrible. I can't even focus on God for 5 minutes. I try to sit down and read my Bible, I fall asleep. I try to go into my prayer room. My mind wanders into what I'm going to cook for dinner. And we look at ourselves and we go, well, I'm just terrible. Terrible. Moses goes back up Mount Sinai. He pleads with the Lord. God, this is what they're going to say about you if you kill your people. That all you've done is bring them out of Egyptian bondage to murder them in the wilderness. What will the world say about you? And God says, I don't want the world to think that I'm not merciful, that I'm not compassionate over my people. I want to read verse 34, or chapter 34 to you. But I want you to understand this. Manna never stopped falling. The quail never stopped coming, even while the children of Israel worshipped a golden idol. I don't know how many days they worshipped it. I don't know how long it was. But do you know, as they worshipped a golden calf, manna still fell from heaven? You want to talk about merciful? You want to talk about gracious? Even while they had just said, you know what? I don't even care about that God anymore. We have a new one. That God that they forsook was still giving mercy fresh and new every morning. Isn't that incredible? You're not as big of a mess up as you think. Because God still loves you. And God still cares about you. And even when you fail, even when you're terrible, even when you mess up, guess what? You wake up the next day, His mercies are fresh and they're new. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? That makes me free. Makes me free to know, you know what, God? I am terrible, but you're not. You're wonderful. His testimony reigns in that. Because then we can go out into the world and they go, you're an awful person. You're like, you're absolutely right. I am awful. But you know what's great? God, because He loves me anyway. He's invited me in anyway. Let's read chapter 34, starting in verse 1. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before the mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, this is what the Lord is saying about himself, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. So not only does God forgive us our sins, but he says, you know what? I'm going to blot it out, forget it. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to do marvelous things in your life. I'm going to work miracles in your life. I'm going to move on your behalf in areas that I wouldn't do for anyone else because they're not my children and you are. What mercies. Psalms 136 simply says this in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What a Savior we have. He is the balm for the broken and the love to the fearful. Jesus is the peace to our raging. He brings rest to our souls. Will you stand all over the house this morning? There is nothing in your life that hinders God from you, because his mercy endures forever. If you don't know the Lord this morning and you say, "I've done a lot, I don't know how to respond to God, I don't even think God can love me," I pray that I was able to deliver this message clearly to you, that lets you know there is nothing in your life that can hinder God from loving you, from wanting you, pursuing you. I can tell you, you could have done the worst things yesterday, but guess what? You woke up this morning and those mercies are new. As Christians this afternoon, maybe you feel like the prophet Jeremiah and you say, "Lord, since I've been in your service, I feel like there's just been trouble." I want to encourage us this morning to do as Jeremiah did later in his passage, where he said, "And when I think about all these things, when these things are so overwhelming to me, I remember the mercies of the Lord." That even in the midst of it, the hardest times, you met me there. And your mercies were sufficient. Your grace was sufficient. As Hebrews said, "I was able to run to you in confidence and draw near to the throne of grace because of that mercy." Maybe you can think about, "God, even in the midst of my chaos and my crazy, my depression and my anxiety, I look back and I still see the manna falling when I lacked faith. When I fell into temptation, I woke up and realized that the manna was still all around me. Your grace was still there for me." I want to encourage us this morning, if you do desire to come to the altar, I'd love to meet with you here. Give thanks for the mercies of God. Invite them into situations in our lives. I just want the mercy of God for a situation in my life. So I've asked the same question that Lester's asked a million times, why is a woman who's loved God so much all of her life having to deal with what she's dealing with right now? I've asked that question. But when he asked me that yesterday, I said, you know what I found to be true in her life is that though dementia has taken her mind, it has not taken the glory of Jesus from her. She can't string three words into a sentence. But when she prays, it's the most clear, beautiful prayer you've ever heard. Folks, it's because Christ is alive in her. Despite her trouble, he's still there. His mercies catering to her soul. So pray with us this morning. This altar is open if you want to come. There's something you want to bring to the Lord. I'd love to meet you here. Pray with you. Amen. Let's pray together. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your mercy that endures from generation to generation. Other people have not let it fail in you. Your judgment could have been swift, God. You could have brought condemnation in so many areas, God. But as your word says, you desire mercy, not judgment. So, Lord, we ask you today, Lord Jesus, into our lives. As we run to the throne of grace, we ask you, God, to meet us in our trouble, to meet us in our turmoil, God. Situations in our life, Lord God, where we need you to be close, God, and your mercy allows you to be close to us. Though we just be wretched men and women, God, though we be wicked by nature, your mercy lets down those walls and allows you to come into us, Lord. Be close to us in the hardest times of our life. For those that are mourning, Lord God. For those that are troubled souls, Lord Jesus. For those that are sinners. Let your mercy win in their lives today, Lord God. And draw close. Because that's who you are. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to minister your word, Lord God. I pray that I delivered it well, God. I pray that I delivered your heart this morning. I don't want to be a good preacher, Lord. I just want to be, I want to be used by you well. I want to be your son. And so I love you and I praise you, Jesus. Let us not get weary in these last days of well-doing. Let us not get weary of running to you, God, in our times of need. Let us be like Job, God, with a real recognition that life is hard. But also with a real recognition that though life is hard, you are so, so good. And you're so, so faithful. So we love you. We praise you today, Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, church. Enjoy the rest of your day. I pray everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you Wednesday. Amen.